Good morning.
Good morning.
Is my microphone on? They do try and keep me quiet, that's a problem. Hopefully I'm coming over loud and clear. It's good to be with you again this morning. And that's an interesting word that Rhys said there, actually, that nature, because it's actually my nature that I'm constantly a struggle with. I'm always in a battle. You know, should I, shouldn't I, am I, don't I, all of these different kinds of things going on in my life. But today I wanted to keep things simple, and there's a reason I want to keep things simple, is because I'm a student at Regent's Theological College, and oh goodness me, don't they dig deep? They really wind me up. But what's interesting about this is going back about 3 weeks ago, I thought, right, I've learned some great stuff, and Nigel is my witness to this, because he came to one of the churches and gave me some positive feedback after. I went to a couple of churches and I said, right, I'm going to teach you what I've learned, or some of what I've learned at college, and I'd like you to come and give me some feedback, which I never said this, I wish I'd like you to come and give me some feedback later on at the end of the meetings. And it was really interesting to me because they didn't like me. Now, isn't it interesting that we always feel that we have to aspire to be something? Do we have to become something? Well, I realised, and what they were saying to me was, well, no, Clive, no, it wasn't you. We just want you to be Clive, you know, straight. Say it as it is, and now and then funny. You know, those kind of comments. But it really took me, I thought, wow, that's amazing. So today, well, actually, it was in July last year, Peter Brind preached here, and he spoke on Luke chapter 15. And that's what I'm going to be speaking on this morning. But I was due that afternoon to go open air preaching. And because Peter spoke on that, I thought, oh, I was sat there and I think, goodness me. Right, okay, I'm just going to go on. I'm going to speak this afternoon on the fatherhood of God. So we did open air preaching and I spoke on the fatherhood of God. And it also encouraged me then when I was speaking at the camp in August last year to speak on the fatherhood of God. And I've had it impressed on me all week this week, just Luke chapter 15. And I can't say I've really prepared, although I have done some preparation, because it's simply my heart. And I'm saying, okay, Lord, I'm leaving it to you. I want my heart, what you want to do through my heart, to come out to those that are listening this morning. And basically, that's exactly what I want to do this morning. I downloaded this earlier, which I thought was a great illustration of God's heart towards us. A young woman had been seeing a psychiatrist. The doctor had established that she was a wife and mother of 3 children. And he asked, which of your 3 children do you love the most? She answered instantly, I love all 3 of my children exactly the same. He paused. The answer was almost too quick, too glib. He decided to probe a bit. Come now, you love all 3 of your children the same? Yes, that's right, she said. I love them all the same. He said, come off it now. It's psychologically impossible for anyone to regard any 3 human beings exactly the same. If you're not willing to level with me, we'll have to terminate this session. With this, the woman broke down and cried. She said, okay, I don't love all 3 children the same. When one of my children is sick, I love that child more. When one of my 3 is lost, I love that child more. When one of my children is confused or in pain, I love that child more. And when one of my children is bad, and I don't mean naughty, I mean really bad, I love that child more. Then she added, except for those exceptions, I do love all 3 of my children
van te zijn. Dit is mijn eerste moeite om te praten.
But I know that if you're a parent, and you won't know until you are a parent, you will die for your child. You know, sat there now as parents, you know that if one of your children was in the firing line, you would say, I'll take the place. You wouldn't even ask, I'll take the place. But if it was someone else's child, you'd question. It wouldn't be the same. I find that incredible. But you know that that's true. And even if it was your spouse, amazingly enough, exactly the same. You're not sure if you stand against the wall, if there was a firing squad, but your child, not a question, not a hint of doubt, you would step in their place straight away. Isn't that powerful? I want to ask this morning, let me first say, me and Fiona were at a party last night. It was an 80th birthday party. His name was Doug, and he came to the table, and we were just talking for 5 minutes. And he was talking about his regrets. And he said, I don't just regret what I did, the wrong paths that I went. I regret what I didn't do. And he told Billy Graham, he said, Billy Graham was asked what regrets of life that he had. He said, I wish I would have sought God more and only gone where he wanted me to go. And I could vouch for that. I mean, I've been to places in my life, even as a Christian, I bought the cross round Wales 4 times and 2 of those were all about me. But at the time I thought it was for God. It's interesting in our life, we go in places and we think we're doing it for God, but because of our character, our strengths, our need to be somebody, we just end up in the wrong place. In Luke 15, parables, there's 3 of them, start like this. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus preach. And I stopped right there this morning when I started reading that because of my heart, as Reese was saying. Let me put it another way, and I do not want to offend anybody, so please hear my heart as this. Pedophiles and rapists, the notorious sinners, often came to listen to Jesus. Because they're the words that would be there if those words were freshly, newly written today. And we would say, why would Jesus want to go and spend time with people like that? Why would somebody who claims to be the good teacher, you know, the Son of God, want to go and spend time with the scum of the earth? But he does. Because that's God. Because I feel, and I do it even as a Christian, I do put God in a box of the kind of person, the character that he is. Oh, the lovely, dovey, fluffy God that I can raise my hand to and worship him. Clive, stick your hand down there and go and spend some time with the people that need me. Because I am their father. Stand in the firing line for them. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associated with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, this is the lost sheep. This is you, this is me, this is the pedophiles, I sit with them. And they tell me that when we sing that song, I am a child of God, how do you find your forgiveness? I am a child of God. Because I struggle to forgive them. I sometimes don't want to know what these people have done. But they say, I am a child of God. And that's where they find freedom. That's where we find our freedom, where we find release from the sin that entangles us in our lives. Let's not start putting it on levels. We are all in the same boat. Sinners, saved by God, saved by grace, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. No other way.
That's right.
I've read on in verse 7, it says, in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over the 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Well, hopefully that's you and me. Because we're okay. Because we're in the clan. We're sorted. But what about the one? What about the one? Well, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? Sad to say that I have even searched for the lost because of my need. Because I needed fulfillment to say that I've done it, to say that I've been there, to say that I'm looking. And that's not the heart of God. What fruit are we going to find if that's what we're doing? We do it because they're lost. Because they're God's children. Because his heart aches for the lost. Not because of who I need to be. And when she finds it, she will call on her friends and neighbours and say, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost coin. In the same way there is joy in the presence of God and angels when even one sinner repents. I suppose an illustration that's coming to mind there is if you went home and you've seen your neighbour digging a garden and you said there was treasure outside of his garden and it's guaranteed, you say, have you got another shovel? And he'd say, well, actually, there was some over your side as well. And then you'd say, oh, can I lend the shovel? And it's funny how easily things change in our hearts. Why couldn't I help him find his treasure first then? So easily swayed in life. But this is where I wanted to come, is in the parable of the lost son. And I was speaking to a guy in a prison a few weeks ago now, and we were talking about father, and he said, oh, I didn't have a father. Obviously he did, but he said, I didn't know him. But it was, he just said, without prompting, he said, oh, well, I wish I did. And I said, why do you wish you did? What have you felt that was missing? He said, just having a father. That's all he said. Even at that age, I'm 52, and I didn't know my father. And in my heart, I think, I wish I didn't know my father. I wish I'd have had that father figure to be with me, to encourage me, to help me, to teach me, to discipline me, to show me where I've gone wrong. But now we're going to talk about a father whose son wants to go his own way. I can't believe, it must have been, I know it's a parable, but as parents, or if you've been in a similar situation, it hurts. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told him this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Well, if my children came to me and said, you've got a couple of acres of land, Dad, a house, a few cars, how about you sell that now and give me by a bit now? Oh, so you having a laugh? You joking me? I'd probably give him a slap. for being so cheeky. What an attitude to have. But this son did. But it's the response of the father. And when we're speaking to those who are seeking and searching for God, or those who we just come into conversation with, we can't force father, we can't force God onto them. We can only tell them, God loves you, and he died for you. And look what this father does. A few days later, this son, the younger son, packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And he moved to a distant land because he wanted to be away from everything. He didn't want those that know him to see the kind of life that he was living. and there he wasted all his money in wild living. So the love of the father was, he let him go. Remember, we're painting a picture of God. God let us go because we wanted to go, but he calls us back. Now what I love about this father is he's let him go, but he's built into him as a child, as he's been growing up, I love you, I care for you, I want you, I need you, you are mine. And we know every single human being that has lived on this planet has had that hole and has filled it with whatever in the world. But once they've received Christ, search no more. That's how it was for me, and hopefully that's how it was for you. Once I've received Christ, after trying all the drink and the drugs and anything else in life that was thrown my way to fill the hole, it wasn't until I said that simple prayer, change happened. And I search no more.
Thank you, Lord.
To this day.
Thank you, Jesus.
Verse 14. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became hungry, so hungry, that even the pods he was feeding pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, which is exactly what we're like, it's funny, isn't it? We go away and we walk down the road. Where is it? It's in Matthew 7 when it talks about the wide gate and the narrow gate. You know, when we've gone through the wrong way, we go right down, we think, hang on a minute. Hang on. It looked good when I looked down there. It all looked like it was going to be rosy and marvellous, and it was going to fulfil some of the needs that I wanted. But now I'm down here, it isn't good. And you look back, and you can see. And sometimes it's a long, hard journey back. Tough. Much tougher than it was walking down there in the first place. This is why we need wives, fellas. To keep us on the straight and narrow. Because they do. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. I'll go home. I'll go home. I'll go home. Not a second thought. I'll go home to my father. He'll sort it out. That's the realization that people need to come to. It's the realization that we came to. I need to go home. And when we did, the penny dropped, hole filled, I have found it. I have found you. I'll go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned to his father, and this young man kept to his word. And while he was still a long way off, the father saw him. Now this gives the picture that the father was looking. The picture in my mind is that the father was looking in the distance every day. Is he coming? Is he coming? Is it time? Has he realized? Has he learned? Has he turned? Has he heard me? While he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, not judgment. Not accusations of the kind of life that he lived. Not where have you been, what have you been doing, what you spend all the money on, you know, all that money I gave you, I sold all that, my belongings to give. None of that. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, kissed him. And again, if you've got children that have gone down the wrong road, you know full well that the last thing on your mind once they return is, what have you done? Where have you been? Who have you been with? You're just ecstatic, released inside the home. Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Probably would have been purple. Colour of importance in those days. Get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead, and now he's returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. But there's always one. Oh, he's the one you want to kill. He's the one who, it winds me up just thinking about him. The one that's ready to point a finger, who's saying, you're dirty, low down, good for nothing, scumbag. You took all of Father's money, you went and squandered on prostitutes, and now he has you back with a fatted calf, a ring and a robe. I wouldn't have had you back, you're a waste of time. There's always one. But God isn't like that, that's people. It amazes me I can be like that. But God is not like that. And I'm forever praying, Lord, help me be like you. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants what was going on. Your brother's back, he was told. And your father has killed a fatted calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. And the older brother got angry. His father came out and begged him. But he replied, all these years, I've slaved for you. I've never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And all the time you never gave me even your young goat for a feast with my friends. Oh, what do we do? Goodness me. Yet when this son of yours comes, your son of yours now, look, he's not a brother of his anymore. He's disowned him. He's put himself, he's elevated himself. He's been out squandering your money on prostitutes, celebrating by killing the fatted calf. His father has said to him, look, son, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day. Your brother was dead, and he's come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. My prayer for me is, and for you, is that we know the heart of God. And we don't just enjoy and love coming to church and spending time together. That we have a heart for the lost because they're lost. Does anybody recognize who that is? Madeleine McCann. She was lost in 3rd of May 2007. She hasn't been found. 11 million her parents have spent so far searching for Madeleine, and the search goes on. And their comment was, this is what she looked like today, apparently. Their comment was, there is no amount of money that we would have spent. I wonder if it was somebody, one of your children, because this is obviously world news, if I put it like that. Everyone's looking for Madeleine, and everyone knows the traits of Madeleine: the eye, the mark in the eye, because she's missing. And it's funny how our heart can tell you all differently with something like this. And yet this is exactly the story, the parable that Jesus was giving. The parable of his lost son. And we're saved. And he's asking us to have a heart, his heart, to search for the lost. Corinthians 6:20 says, you've been bought with a high price, so glorify God in your body. And that's basically saying, live right. And I know that I've been out there proclaiming good news and whatever, my life hasn't been right. And it's what they're looking for. Oh, so you want me then to become a child of God, but look at your life. Because I'm just not shining. I'm just not giving God. I'm giving what I want. It's a challenge. Because it's not easy. But the challenge is, so what kind of light are we putting out there? Do you remember the story of Elijah? When he got depressed. I was singing this last week. He got depressed. He was running from, who was it? Not Bathsheba. What's the other name? Jezebel, thank you. Running from Jezebel. He was petrified. He hid in a cave. And when he came out to the edge of the edge of the cliff, God's voice wasn't found in all the noise. God's voice wasn't found in the fire. It was found, and it wasn't found in the wind. That was the first one. His voice wasn't found in the wind. It was a still, small, quiet whisper. And a lot of the time we don't hear God because of the racket that we're making. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound to save the rest like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And we've got a purpose to help others to see. Well, I'm hopefully going to sing a song. I want to tell you this story first of a time when I received grace by a pastor of a church. And it was in, what church was it, Fee? Dave Lundbeck. Oasis Church. Dave said to me, would you mind looking for a van on eBay and then going to collect it? I'll give you the money, obviously, for the van, and I'll pay for you to go and get it. I said, yeah, okay. So it happened to be on the other side of London. So it was a few days later, you know, so he gave me the money for the van, which, if I remember, was about £900. I got a train going down there, picked up the van, and when I came back, it had Scouts written on the side, written on the front, you know, just on the front, and on the doors. He said, I'll give you 50 quid if you get all those signs off. So I started picking. I thought, this is, I'm not going to be here all week doing this. So I got a friend whose name was Martin Pennington, who worked in a plastics company. And I phoned him and I said, do you have anything that will get these signs off of a van? We bought this van, and he said, yeah, I've got just the stuff, come down and get it. So I got it, he gave it to me. Well, I tell you what, this stuff was high. I was like, this going along the van, but it was strong stuff. Real and honest, but it melted this stuff off. But it even, the van, put a shine on it like you've never seen, so I'd done the whole van with it. It was brilliant. It was beaming, this van. So I took it up to Dave then, and he was well happy with the van. But the next morning he phoned me up and he said, oh, Clyde, do you mind having a look on eBay for a van for us? I said, what do you want a van for? He said, the other one set on fire last night. He said, it's gutted, there's not a thing left. And I said, you're joking. He said, no, so I went straight up, and there it was, on it. Everything, it was just a shell of metal. There was no tyres, no steel, or nothing. He said, the fireman said it was as if somebody poured something all over it and set it on fire. So I put two of them together. I didn't have the heart to tell it. Like, you don't know to this day. You know, so I just said, all right, Dave, I'll have a look. And then he had to. But I think he knew. I do, he wasn't that much of an idiot. I think he knew and just didn't say anything. And it was a time when I received love and grace. It was kind of, thank goodness for that. But let me just see if I can. Can I also? Am I making you tap? I can.
your pattern.
No, I'm going to take this off my mind. This is an old Graham Kendrick song, and it's followed me for a while. I just want to know why four people always have their guitars down there somewhere. Makes it hard on me. Am I okay to sing? Am I all right to... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. This song is called Father of the Fatherless. I'll just sing it because it really speaks to me before I finish.
Oh, Father of the Fatherless, in whom all families are best, I love the way you father me. You gave me life, forgave the past, now in your arms I'm safe at last. I love the way you father me. Father me, forever you father me, and in your embrace I'll be forever secure. I love the way you father me. I love the way you father me. When bruised and broken, I draw near, you hold me close and dry my tears. I love the way you father me. At last my tearful heart is still, surrender to your perfect will. I love the way you father me. Father me, forever you father me, and in your embrace I'll be forever secure. I love the way you father me. I love the way you father me. If in my foolishness I stray, returning empty and ashamed, I love the way you father me. Exchanging for my wretchedness your radiant robes of righteousness, I love the way you father me. Father me, forever you father me, and in your embrace I'll be forever secure. I love the way you father me. I love the way you father me. And when I look into your eyes, from deep within my spirit cries, I love the way you father me. Before such love I stand amazed, and ever will through all my days. I love the way you father me. Father me, forever you father me, and in your embrace I'll be forever secure. I love the way you father me. I love the way you father me.
Father, we thank you. Lord, our hearts can't express enough our thanks, our gratitude, and our love towards you. as you run towards us, even when we're running away. Father, help us to live a life that's righteous. Help us to shine a light to others. Help us, Lord, to be the people that you want us to be. We just want to lift you up, glorify you, magnify your wonderful name, because you're a God who sent his only Son to this world to make a way, even while we were sinners. You're a good God. And we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.